This is Digital Story Podcast number 516, January 26, 2016. Today's topic, the Olympus Pen F. I'm Derek Story. So I've been in Austin, Texas for the last few days exploring the city with the Olympus Pen F in hand. And what a combination. Colorful, friendly, Austin, captured in the viewfinder of this classically designed rangefinder. In this show, I'm going to talk about both, the photo opportunities in the capital of Texas, and the newest premium digital rangefinder to record those images. So I'm recording this from my hotel room at the Driscoll Hotel in downtown Austin. I'm right off of 6th Street. A great place to hang out because I can just literally walk right out the front door and do some shooting. And I've worked now, I got here 2.5 days ago. So I've had plenty of time to take this camera out to all sorts of different places. I've done night shooting, I've done shooting during the day, using different lenses in different situations. And I really feel like I have a feel for the Olympus Pen F. So what I want to do in this show is tell you a little bit about the camera because it's brand new. The embargo just got lifted. That's why I held the show. I held the show because I didn't want to wait a whole week to talk about it. First of all, I wouldn't have the camera with me because once I leave Texas, I don't have the camera anymore. It stays here. The camera is not available until March. So there's that part of it. And then, you know, it's like a week old. So I thought what I'd do instead, hold the podcast until the embargo lifts, which is midnight tonight, which is when I'm going to publish it, which is obviously you're listening to it right now, so it's already published. And I'm going to record it in the hotel room with pillows around the mic and doing all the stuff. The editing, I'll tell you right now, won't be as detailed as it normally is. Because, quite honestly, I don't have very much time to do this. This is one of those classic digital story field reports. Now, I'm not hunkered over in the corner of a ship, and I'm not, you know, huddled inside the Audi. So this is better than those shows. But nonetheless, we're doing a field report here, and I think it's worth it. So anyway, so let's dig right into it here and talk about the Olympus Pen F. So here are some of the highlights of the Olympus Pen F. It is a classic rangefinder camera. And what I mean by that is that the eyepiece is moved over to the left side so street shooters can have one eye in the eyepiece and the other eye open to see what's going on. In terms of the style, it is definitely has the rangefinder look. It doesn't have the hump on top like the OMDs do. Now, you could argue that unlike my Contax G1, that actually has the windows, the focusing windows, somewhat separated on the front of the camera and it uses geometry to do the focusing. This camera doesn't have that, so I guess it's not rangefinder in that sense, but it is rangefinder in terms of how it looks, how it feels, looking through the viewfinder, all of that kind of stuff. I like it a lot. It is a robust camera. It has a magnesium body with aluminum dials and aluminum accents on it. It is very, very well crafted, even to the point to where you don't even see any screws on it. If you look at the bottom plate and so forth, you don't see any screws or anything like that. They have gone to great lengths to make something that is as beautiful to look at as the pictures it can take. All of the dials, and there are a number of them, there are 3-4 on the top dials, are machined aluminum. Has a very classically designed shutter release button, so much so that you can actually even put a screwed thread cable release into it. And as far as I know, Fuji has this, I think, on the XT, XT1, and I think Nikon did it on the DF, but you don't see that too often, where you actually can use the plunger-style mechanical cable release with this camera. Now, on the front of the camera, they've done something that really goes back to the original Pen-F. By the way, if you aren't familiar with the first Pen-F, it came out, I believe, in 1963, and it was a half-frame camera. And that was Olympus's approach to making a 35 millimeter camera a bit smaller. So what it did was it exposed on a half frame, so a 36 exposure roll of film was really 72 exposures when run through the original Pen-F. By only exposing half the frame, they made everything smaller. The camera was smaller, the lenses could be smaller, all that good stuff. Now, what was interesting about it is that when you held the camera in the horizontal position, the landscape position, you were actually taking a vertical picture, because the 35 millimeter frame was cut in half. And so when you do that, then suddenly when you're holding the camera in that position, you have a vertical shot instead of a horizontal shot. You don't have any of that kind of stuff going on with this camera. The digital sensor that's on the inside is a four-thirds sensor, standard four-thirds sensor, except this is the first camera by Olympus that is a 20 megapixel capture. So instead of 16 megapixels, which the cameras have been running at up until this point, the Pen-F now captures at 20 megapixels. So that's a big deal. Both the RAWs and the JPEGs now are coming in at 5,184 by 3,088 pixels. So you're getting a lot of resolution out of a very compact camera. And how compact is it? Well, if I compare it to my OMD, it's actually not as tall. And the footprint is about the same. It's very nice in the pocket. If you have a compact lens on it, you can easily slide it into your jacket pocket. Now, what they've done, and one of the things that's very different about the Pen-F compared to the original Pens, is that it has an electronic viewfinder built into it. And it is a wonderful electronic viewfinder. I mean, they say, Olympus is telling me that it's basically the same electronic viewfinder that's in the OMD EM10 Mark II, which is a lovely viewfinder. As I look through it right now, which I'm doing, and as I focus with it, to me, it seems a bit clearer and a bit brighter even than the OMD EM10 Mark II. It actually, to me, feels like one of the nicest electronic viewfinders I've looked through. I really like looking through this viewfinder. So it has that built in. So what's interesting, it still has the same form factor as the Pen, as the other Olympus Pens, which is the rectangular shape, but it has the electronic viewfinder built into it, and a very nice electronic viewfinder at that. Now, on the back of the camera is an LCD, and it's a swing-out, fully articulated LCD like we have on the Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II. One thing that's a bit different about it, though, is that they figure since this camera is really designed primarily for street photographers, for event shooters, for people on the go, they figured that they might have that LCD closed a lot. And that's one of the nice things about this style of LCD, is that when you're not using it, it can be closed with the LCD surface toward the camera and the back of the LCD on the outside, so that you don't scratch it, when you're in, when it's not in use. So what they did was they took that a step further, and the outside of the LCD panel is also covered in a leather material, just like the leather material that's on the front of the camera. So when you hold the camera in your hand and you have the LCD closed, it actually, again, very much looks like a classic rangefinder camera, because you don't really see the LCD. What you see is this nice leather texture, just like it was the back of a camera. Now, the top deck has the mode dial. The on-off switch is over on the left side. The shutter button I talked about before. And then they've done an interesting thing. So the shutter button has the rotating collar around it like we're used to on Olympus cameras. But that isn't necessarily, at least by default, the exposure compensation like we normally have on the cameras. They've added another dial, and this looks like something Fujifilm would do, actually, that has the exposure compensation markings in its right, as you look at it, it's at 4 o'clock compared to the shutter button. And so you can adjust the exposure compensation with your thumb using that dial, and then there are other functions that you can assign to the collar that's around the shutter button. So that's a little bit different. And then there's yet another rotating dial that's kind of under the top deck that you can get to with your thumb. There's a very nice thumb rest, but there isn't the L-shaped grip that's on front. Again, very much rangefinder, classic sort of street shooting style. No L grip on the front, just a straight surface. Now, you can buy an accessory grip for this camera if you want one, but out of the box, it has the thumb rest on the back and then the flat surface on the front. Speaking of the front, there is a very unique dial, and this is a throwback dial for sure. This comes out of the original pin. And this dial in the front, again, made out of machined aluminum, has a couple of very interesting controls. The two most noteworthy are monochrome control, and color control. What they've done with this camera, and this is actually one of my favorite parts of the Pen F, is that they have monochrome control. So you use this front dial, it's the easiest way to get to it. Set it to mono. And then you have mono profiles that you can choose. One is a standard sort of grayscale profile. It's very nice. But the second one is very much like Tri-X film. And the third one is very much like infrared, black and white infrared film. So not only can you set these different profiles once you go to mono, then you have another control where you can set the film grain. So you can have fine film grain, medium film grain, or coarse film grain. And this combination of black and white controls produce beautiful, beautiful JPEGs. They are absolutely gorgeous. In fact, I became addicted to the black and white that this camera produces on this trip. Now, the way that I'm shooting with it is that I'm shooting RAW plus JPEG, and I'm making the JPEGs super fine. So I'm still getting the regular RAW files that you can do anything with later on. And when I mean later on, I really mean later on, because nothing can decode them right now. I don't even have Olympus software for it at the moment. But the JPEGs are the ones that are black and white, or have whatever effect that you've chosen in the camera. And those are what I've been working with, and they are just gorgeous. If you read the review on the Digital Story, I just have a short review about this camera. And I run some of the sample shots that I've done here in Austin using the mono setting. And I fell in love with mono profile number 2, which is the Tri-X setting. I used to shoot a lot of Tri-X in the film days, and I love the look of Tri-X. Street shooting in that mode with that profile is really something else. Now, I shouldn't sell the color short either, because we've done a lot of testing with the color. And when you just shoot in regular color mode without going to color here on that front dial, the color is quite good. Olympus JPEGs have always been known for, their great saturation and contrast and so forth. but going to the color setting on this camera just takes it to a whole nother place. And again, you have some controls where you can actually control either via preset, or you're just playing with a color wheel by looking inside the viewfinder, and you can adjust this color to your liking. The net result, at least for us, is that it feels very much like you're shooting with classic color film. That's the way the JPEGs look. The black and whites look like black and white film, and the colors look like color film. And it's a look that's very exciting, very saturated, sometimes pale, depending on what you do, but it has this wonderful analog film look. And all of that's controlled by the dial on the front. Now, in terms of the battery, the battery is the same battery that's used in the EM5 and the EM5 Mark II and the EM1. So if you shoot with any of those cameras, you already have extra batteries for this camera. But they also put the memory card slot next to the battery on the bottom instead of on the side like they do with the OMD EM5s. So the battery and the card slot combination, the tandem, is more like the EM10s as opposed to the EM5s, and they're both down there at the bottom. But again, the battery size itself, same size as the EM5. Now, I shot with a lot of lenses. They supplied some lenses for us, and then, you know, we all brought our own lenses too, those of us that had lenses for this camera. And I think the kind of the default lens that I worked with a lot was either the 17mm f1.8. That's a great lens for this camera. It looks good on the camera. It's balanced, and it's that kind of, again, street photography kind of lens. Also, the 14-42 easy zoom is great on this camera, as are the other primes, the 25mm. Those smaller, lighter lenses balance nicely on this camera and sort of fit with its design, which is, again, this kind of Leica rangefinder look. Now, I brought my larger 75mm f1.8, which is a terrific lens. And I'll tell you, a lot of the pictures that I've captured in Austin has been with that lens on this camera. The one thing I will say, when you start going to bigger lenses like that on this camera, the balance isn't quite as good as it is on, let's say, the OMD EM1 or the EM5 Mark II. So I really feel like that the Pen F is designed for the smaller, lighter lenses. That's where it really feels light and nimble. You carry it in your jacket pocket, you pull it out, you grab a couple shots on the street, and then you stick it back in your pocket. It's that kind of camera. It responds quickly, it turns on fast. The lag time when you press the shutter button is minimal. Has a good frame rate in burst mode. You know, it's a very responsive camera. And I just really feel like that the lighter prime lenses or the smaller zooms are really best suited for this particular body. It does have the 5-axis image stabilization built in. Spec says that it gives you 5 stops of stabilization, up to 5 stops. And I'd have to say, the image stabilization is very good. I don't have a way to test it exactly, but it definitely feels like it's in that range. Overall, the images look fantastic. I can't speak to the RAW files. I have them. I'll be able to speak to them later when I can decode them. Right now, I'm just hanging on to them. But I'm looking at the JPEGs both in normal JPEG mode and then the specialized color mode and the specialized mono mode. They're just absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. In terms of quirks, I've really only found one what I would consider a bug in this camera. And I've been shooting with it in a lot of different conditions. But the back viewfinder eyepiece is round. And all the buttons and everything on this camera is round. Again, going with the classic styling. So the eye sensor is off to the side a bit. It's not part of the rectangular setup like we see on the OMDs. And I notice that when I'm shooting in strong lighting, if a strong light source shines into that eye sensor while you're holding it up to your face, and again, it's vulnerable because your face is not covering the camera because the viewfinder's off to the side, that it can cause the lens to temporarily, or the viewfinder to temporarily black out. And so what I discovered is that what I have to do is just either, you know, move my face over a little bit to cover it, or shield the direct light with my hand a bit. I suspect that that is going to be fixed in an upcoming firmware update. Of course, I can never predict exactly what's going to happen, but we let Olympus know about this, and I'm sure it's at the top of their list to fix that little direct light going into the eye sensor problem. In terms of focusing and performance and, you know, menu settings and all that, I really haven't had any problems yet. Like I said, the only little hiccup I ran into is direct light coming from my right shoulder, over my right shoulder, into that eye sensor, temporarily causing the viewfinder to go dark. I think for now, I think that's the main things I want to cover in this camera. Like I said, it's a brand new camera. It will be out in early March. It's going to sell for $1,199.99 in the U.S., and you'll pretty much see it at that price everywhere in the beginning, and that's without lens. That's the body only. I would say you're probably getting one of the best made bodies that I've held, and you're also getting, you know, now there's two cameras. The Panasonic has 120 megapixel micro four thirds, and now the Pen F is the other 20 megapixel four thirds sensor. It's a heck of a camera. It really is. It comes in chrome top and black top. The black top, again, kind of has that Leica look to it. I was asking the guys here, because there's eight of us testing this camera, writing for the different photo publications, DP Review, Imaging Resource, and all of those. And it was pretty much split, but I would say I felt like a few more people liked the chrome and black combination, which surprised me a little bit, liked the chrome and black combination. They said that it really looked more like a classic camera, that combination. It's very handsome. The pictures that I'm running on the site are the chrome and black, because that's the model that I've been testing. So I don't know. You know, if I get to buy one, I don't know which way I'm going to go. I can't decide right now. I like them both, and clearly one of each would be extravagant. So anyway, that is my first look at the Olympus Pen F. I'm going to see if I can have one at our San Francisco street shooting workshop for people to test and play with. I'm pretty sure we're going to have at least one there. We're going to try to get a few more. I think the San Francisco workshop is a great time to play with that camera. I'm very excited about it. I think Olympus has done a good job. And I think the mirrorless category between this camera and what Fuji has done just continues to be one of the most exciting places to hang out in the world of photography. Photography in Austin, Texas. What a mix of photographic opportunities here. I've been here for 3 days now. I'm going to be here for, let me see, one more, and then I have to leave on Thursday morning. You can wander down 6th Street at night and just check out the historical clubs, the music, you know, kind of wafting in the air, people having a good time. Tends to be a younger crowd on 6th Street, kind of a happening place that way. And then you can turn around and just right around the corner, walk down Congress to the state capitol and attend a free tour there and explore really some very nice touches. I tell you, that state capitol building has all sorts of cool things. It's really a photographer's delight. Things like, you know, the door hinges are, you know, have the State of Texas logo on them, you know, old brass hinges, stuff like that. It's really a fun place. The tours are free at the state capitol. Then you can immerse yourself in nature at Lady Bird Park. You can enjoy Texas hospitality at the fine restaurants and hotels. I mean, it's just one thing after another. We are spending entire days here out shooting, and tomorrow will be our third day of shooting, plus I added on a half a day because I got here a little early and not even close to scratching the surface. So I just think for folks that live in the U.S., it's something that you might want to keep in mind. The weather here's pretty good in the winter for the most part. It's been very nice here. We had a little bit of rain today, but for the most part, it's been, you know, very comfortable and mild. And I'm just going to go over a list of some of the highlights here in Austin, including a couple tips on places to eat, just so you can put it in your back pocket if you're looking for a good photo getaway to do some street shooting, to do some urban photography for 3 or 4 days. This is a destination to consider. So at the top of the list, of course, is 6th Street. It is the happening place at night. And on the weekends, they usually close the street to traffic. So you can, you know, walk around. You don't have to worry about cars and stuff. And it's a lot of fun. It reminds me a little bit of a Texas version of South Beach, you know, in the Miami area. Has a great vibe, tends to be a very young vibe here. And then another location worth considering, you don't hear as much about it, but it's Rainey Street, you know, R-A-I-N-E-Y, Rainey Street. And that also has a very vibrant night scene, good bars, entertainment. It's a bit less touristy than 6th Street, and it's not quite as young. Definitely worth checking out in terms of entertainment and photography, both. Then, of course, there's the state capitol with its free tours. And, you know, this is something that you can do during the day. Rainey Street and 6th Street are a little bit better at twilight and night. That's when, you know, they're really cooking. But the state capitol is something that you can do during the day. And they allow photography inside. The only thing that you can't photograph at the state capitol are the security guards. And there's a lot to shoot. It's really a beautifully designed complex. And, you know, it's just like you're stepping back in time. Another interesting spot is Hope Outdoor Graffiti Gallery. And if you don't mind the fumes from freshly sprayed spray paint, this is a trippy place to go. And basically what they have done is turned over these old building ruins to graffiti artists. And it's extensive and it's interesting. It's a good place for portraits in the sense that you have these very vibrant, colorful backgrounds. You can use a longer lens, kind of blur them, soften them a bit, and really get some interesting stuff. Good place to bring someone for a portrait shoot. And then just a good place just to wander around and take a look at it. So that's Hope Outdoor Graffiti Gallery. And then more on the Zen side of thing, there's the Zilker Botanical Garden. Very nicely designed, strong Japanese influence, a lot of water running through it, some very excellent stonework, great plants, koi, a lot of koi. It's very peaceful, it's very relaxing, and there's a lot of good shots to be had there. So that's another one I'd put on the list, the Zilker Botanical Garden. And then a couple places to eat. Torchy's Tacos shows up on the list of a lot of folks who love eating in Austin. T-O-R-C-H-Y, Torchy's Tacos. La Condesa is a very interesting Mexican-style restaurant. Excellent sauces, good food, a little bit of fusion, with Tex-Mex and Mexican and so forth. And then again, downtown, the Broken Spike Honky Tonk Restaurant and Bar. Just one in many fun places like that here in Austin. Boy, I tell you, if you had a new camera, a new street shooting camera, and you wanted to come test it out, this is a good place to do it. And we're staying at the historic Driscoll. It was originally built in the 1880s and has been remodeled, and it's lovely. But there's a lot of great places to stay. So I just wanted to put Austin on your list of possible places to come take pictures. Again, it's affordable. It's sort of accessible from all parts in the U.S., and it's a lot of fun. It really is. In the news, Fujifilm planning to launch a medium format digital camera, reports say, and this is covered by Petapixel. Fujifilm is reportedly planning to shake up the camera world by launching its own interchangeable lens medium format digital camera. Fuji Rumors writes that it got this information directly from a top trusted Japanese source. The source states that a digital medium format Fujifilm camera has already gotten the green light from the company management and it's already in development. Yep, quote, the medium format Fuji will come, Fuji Rumor says, and if priced somewhere between the Pentax 645D, which is $3,400, and the Pentax 645Z, which is $7,000, this camera could be a real winner for Fujifilm. They made medium format cameras in the past, and I'll tell you, they were renowned for their lenses. No reason to think they can't do it again in a digital version. All right, I have a helpful tip here for those of you that may have some duplicate files on your computer. This is from the good folks at MacPaw. And this week I'm talking about Gemini, the duplicate finder by the folks at MacPaw. So, okay, here we go. How many of you have duplicate images on your Mac? Raise your hand. I got mine up. I can see you out there. There's a lot of hands up. So, you know, the one thing that we know is that finding and removing them manually is not the way to go. We've all tried that. You get, you know, a little bit into it, and then you just give up. And then you always have this weird feeling like you haven't found all the duplicates anyway. It's a frustrating way to spend an afternoon, quite honestly. So instead of going that route, you can try Gemini by MacPaw, and it's a duplicate finder that does this whole job for you within minutes. The interface is great. The intelligence is great. I mean, you know, okay, here are some of the highlights. So it's fast and accurate, and the scanning algorithm finds duplicate files and even folders. So it really goes through everything, searches out all those, you know, all those doubles, so to speak, sometimes triples. It has built-in file preview with metadata information, smart auto select that removes the copies and keeps the originals intact. I think that's a biggie. I think that's so big, I'm going to say that again. Smart auto select that removes the copies and keeps the originals intact. It supports both iTunes and iPhoto, in addition to just working at the Finder level. And it works with external drives and network volumes too. So it's simple, it's fast, it's safe to use. They have it available at the MacPaw site. I have a link to it here in the show notes at macpaw.com/Gemini. Come over to the show notes, click on the link, go over there and take a look at it. And I'll tell you, this is especially handy if you're thinking about making a move from one photo application to another, something like that. Clean things up, you know, hang on to those originals, get rid of the 4 and 5 and 8 versions that you've made of it. And really, you know, save yourself some disk space. And then also save yourself the frustration of just looking at the wrong image. You know, you find it. And of course, you find the one that's 1024 instead of the master file that's full size. So anyway, MacPaw, makers of Gemini, the duplicate finder. It's worth a look. The link's in the show notes. Let me know what you think. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments from the Digital Story Facebook page. This week, this is a funny one, actually. In regard to Saturday's Facebook post, Häagen-Dazs ice cream lids are perfect 72-millimeter lens caps. So it was a piece that, originally this had floated around on Instagram and Twitter for a while. Then Petapixel picked it up, did a piece on it. So then a bunch of us, started pointing to it. So it's kind of funny, but the idea is that the Häagen-Dazs lid is the perfect size to double as a 72-millimeter lens cap if you lose the lens cap for your 72-millimeter lens. So I went ahead and put the link on our Facebook page on Saturday, and I just want to read you some of the comments that people contributed after I put that post up. So Aaron said, "Of course, it's not a cheap brand of ice cream. Everything in photography is expensive." And he put a smiley face on that. And then Ken added, "Go ahead, but your image will change." Kim added, "Good to know to justify the ice cream eating." Yeah, I have to have this ice cream because I need the lens cap, right? John goes, "But make sure you clean the top first. Very important." especially with, some of those very sticky chocolate flavors. And Fred said, "The last job I did, I lost my lens cap, and it was just about that size. Looks like it's time to go out and get a treat to fix the problem." And Ron says, "Now the rush starts to find all kinds of lids for all sorts of lenses." And you're probably right about that, Ron. And if you do, it would probably make another good Facebook post. And who knows, it could end up on Petapixel too. So anyway, those are some of the thoughts from our virtual camera club on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. Post your thoughts on our Facebook page. Believe me, I read them. All right, just a few follow-up pieces here. As I mentioned last week, the registration forms have gone out to the reserve list for the Point Reyes Photography Workshop. We're already, just after that first week, we're already more than half full. So if you're on the reserve list, you want to come, act now. If you want to get on the reserve list, I only tell people that listen to the podcast about this. You can just go there, do the send me info form, and I'll put you on the list and send you a registration form. And finally, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper for all your inkjet and supply needs. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to our sponsors also at inkdot.com. They have those cool wood prints that I've been talking about, and they have more stuff too. Definitely worth a visit at inkdot.com. And Image Framer for your virtual frames, if you're making virtual postcards and things like that, for pre-visualization on how somebody's going to look on the wall. You name it, Image Framer can help you see it and even produce a copy digitally. I have a link to them in the show notes also. They have a special page set up for us where you can get discounts on all three versions. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. Next week, I'll be back in Santa Rosa. So I'm going to say farewell now from Austin, Texas, a great place to come visit if you're a photographer. And that Olympus Pen F camera that'll be coming out in early March, boy, I tell you, I think it's a winner. I'll be curious to see what you think when you have a chance to read a bit more about it. All right, that's going to do it for me. I'm going to wrap this up and actually try to get some sleep tonight. Until next week, have a great week. I'll see you then. Bye-bye now.